Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're here to give you the essential knowledge fast, cutting straight through all the noise and complexity.
Yeah, getting right to the core of it.
Exactly. And today we're tackling something pretty critical in, well, the digital age, how we communicate privately, freely, and maybe without that central oversight we're so used to. We're doing a deep dive into Jamie. It's a platform that seems designed really to put the user entirely back in control.
It really is. It flips the usual model on its head.
Okay, but before we jump into the nuts and bolts, its architecture and all that.
Which is fascinating, by the way.
Oh, yeah. We want to give a major shout out to our supporter for this deep dive, SafeServer.
Right.
They care deeply about the hosting of software like Jamie, and they support your digital transformation. They really understand the kind of infrastructure needed for these free and distributed tools.
That's crucial support for projects like this.
Totally. So if you're looking for robust, reliable hosting solutions, you can find more information at www.safeserver.de.
Definitely check them out. Okay, so Jamie, the source material we've looked at today, it's all focused exclusively on Jamie.
Right.
And for you, the learner, it's presented not just as, another messenger app. It's framed as a fundamental redesign of how digital communication can work.
A redesign built around what exactly?
User autonomy and privacy. Those are the absolute pillars. Think of it like a blueprint for decentralized communication.
Okay, so that's our core mission today. For you listening, we want to break down basically three key things. First, the philosophy, like what's behind Jamie.
The why.
Second, how its structure, this distributed thing, is so dramatically different from the apps you probably use every day.
And it really is different.
And third, why that difference matters, why it gives you levels of privacy, maybe even resilience that you just don't get elsewhere. This is kind of your beginner's roadmap to understanding, well, true digital freedom.
Okay, so starting right at the beginning, the sources define Jamie as free Libre, end-to-end encrypted, and private communication software.
Right, free Libre. Let's unpack that a bit. We hear free and often think, zero cost.
Like free beer, yeah.
But the sources really stress free as in freedom. It's a GNU project backed by the Free Software Foundation, licensed under GNU GPL-v3. What does that actually mean for an everyday user? Why should they care?
Well, it really boils down to trust and transparency. Being under the GNU GPL means the source code, the actual instructions that make the software run, is completely open.
Open for anyone to look at.
Anyone, you, me, any expert you trust, can literally look under the hood and check that it does exactly what it says it does, and importantly, nothing sneaky.
So no hidden tracking, no back doors built in for, I don't know, advertisers or governments.
Exactly. That's the core idea. It's auditable. You can verify its claims. That's fundamental for building trust, especially when you're talking about privacy software.
Okay, so a strong philosophical base. But is it actually usable? Like practical for people?
Yeah, absolutely. They seem to have focused on accessibility too. It runs on pretty much every major platform. You've got Linux, Android TV.
Windows, macOS, iOS.
Yep, all of those. And you can link multiple devices to just one account, which makes it genuinely practical for daily use. You're not just stuck on one machine.
And this is maybe the kicker for privacy right from the start, the account creation.
This is huge.
No.
Unlike almost every other service out there that wants your phone number, your email, some kind of personal identifier,
Yeah, something to tie the account back to you.
Jamie requires none of that. Zero.
Yeah.
Just create an account and that's it. It's inherently anonymous right from the moment you install it.
Wow. So no personal data needed up front. That's a massive difference.
It's a foundational layer of security and privacy even before you send a single message.
Okay, let's shift gears then. Let's zoom in on what you called the main event, this revolutionary architecture. If the philosophy is freedom, you said the mechanism is distribution. How do we explain that core idea simply?
Okay, the single most defining thing about Jamie, it is completely peer-to-peer, P2P, and distributed.
Right, peer-to-peer. What does that mean in practice compared to, say, my usual chat app?
Picture this.
Yeah.
Nearly every communication app you use now relies on a massive central server, or like a whole farm of servers run by the company.
Okay, somewhere in the cloud.
Exactly. Your message goes from your phone up to their cloud server, and then that server sends it down to your friend's phone.
Yeah.
Jamie just cuts out that middleman entirely.
So, no server. My message goes straight from my device to yours. That sounds simpler, faster, maybe?
Potentially, yes. But hang on, you've hit on a key point. If it's just device to device, what happens if I send you a message, but your phone is off? Where does it wait?
Yeah, normally the server holds it, right? Like a mailbox.
Precisely. Without that central mailbox, pure PDP has a challenge with asynchronous communication, you know, messages sent when the other person isn't online.
So how does Jamie handle that? This seems critical.
It is. And this is where the distributed part comes in alongside P2P. Jamie uses something the sources call rendezvous points. It's part of a distributed system to help devices find each other and manage those connections, even when they're not online at the exact same time.
Okay, rendezvous points. Is that just a fancy name for a smaller server? Are we back to servers again?
Not quite. Think of it less like a server holding your data and more like a high-tech bulletin board or maybe a guide. It doesn't store your messages.
Okay, so what does it do?
When you want to message someone who's offline, your Jamie app can register its intent, like, hey, I have something for Bob, with a known rendezvous point on the network. When Bob's device comes back online, it checks in, sees that message waiting intent, and then initiates a direct P2P connection with your device.
I see. So the rendezvous point just helps make the introduction.
Exactly. It facilitates that initial handshake. Once the direct P2P link is established between you and Bob, the rendezvous point steps out of the picture entirely. The data flows directly, device to device, still fully encrypted, still decentralized. It's not relaying the actual conversation.
That makes sense. Clever. So it maintains the P2P principle for the actual communication.
Right. It preserves the core benefit.
Which brings us to the benefits then. Obviously, privacy is a big one. No company server means no company snooping on the data flow itself.
That's a major advantage, yes.
But what about performance and this idea of autonomy? Mm-hmm. How does P2P impact those?
Performance-wise, because you're often cutting out that trip to a distant data center and back, latency can be significantly reduced. Things feel snappier.
Less lag on calls, maybe?
Potentially, yeah. And transfer speeds for files can be much faster because you're not going through the potential bottlenecks of a centralized service. You're using the direct connection capacity between the peers.
Okay, faster, potentially. But the autonomy thing sounds even more powerful.
Mm.
The sources mentioned that users on the same local network, like in the same house or office,
uh-huh,
can communicate with Jamie even if their main internet connection is totally down.
Yes. And that's a huge practical benefit of the distributed design. It's a game changer for resilience. It means your ability to communicate isn't entirely dependent on external internet connectivity working perfectly or on some giant data center staying online. Think about situations like natural disasters, infrastructure failures, or even potentially internet censorship in a region.
If the main internet pipe is cut,
people within that local area, on the same Wi-Fi network, for example, could still talk to each other using Jamie. Their communication stays functional locally.
Wow. That resistance to single points of failure, that's really the core of distributed thinking, isn't it? Makes it much harder to block or censor.
Precisely. It makes the communication inherently more resilient and, well, virtually uncensorable within that local context.
Okay, so it's got this robust, resilient architecture. But what can you actually do with it? What are the features?
It seems pretty comprehensive. You've got all the basics.
Yeah.
Instant messaging, audio calls, video calls, group chats.
Standard stuff.
Yes, but also video conferences.
Yeah.
And the sources really emphasize that even things like multi-party video calls function without needing any third-party hosting service.
So no Zoom or Google Meet involved behind the scenes. Jamie handles the connections directly between all the participants.
That's the claim. It sets up the connections peer-to-peer, or perhaps using some clever multi-peer routing, but without relying on an external meeting server. Plus, you get other tools like recording audio and video messages, screen sharing, media streaming, a pretty full suite.
Okay. Now, the source is also through in a technical term. It can function as a SCP client. That sounds like jargon. Can you break that down? Why is that useful?
Right, SIP. That stands for Session Initiation Protocol. It's basically the standard language, the protocol, that underlies most voice over IP or internet phone calls.
Like the office phone system that uses the internet?
Exactly like that. Or services like Skype used to heavily rely on it. By acting as a SCP client, Jamie can essentially talk that language.
And why would I want it to do that?
It potentially bridges Jamie's private P2P world with the more traditional internet telephony world. You might be able to use Jamie to connect to existing VoIP services, maybe make calls out to regular phone numbers through a SIP provider, or receive calls from them. It extends its reach beyond just Jamie-to-Jamie communication.
Interesting. So it adds another layer of connectivity. Now let's talk about limits, or rather the lack of them, the unlimited advantage.
Yes, because there's no central company managing massive servers and trying to control costs or bandwidth usage.
You don't need to impose limits.
Pretty much. The P2P structure means there are generally no built-in restrictions on things like file size for transfers or speed throttling, or limits on the number of accounts you can create or how much storage you use, since it's stored in your devices.
So communication is essentially boundless, limited only by my own internet connection and device capability.
That's the idea. And critically, linked to this no central control aspect is the commitment to being ad-free. The sources are very clear. There will never be advertising on Jamie.
That's a strong promise. Okay, security. We touched on end-to-end encryption, but how do they secure this P2P flow, especially with things like rendezvous points involved?
Security is clearly paramount. All communications get state-of-the-art end-to-end encryption. That's table stakes now. But they add perfect forward secrecy, or PFS.
Okay, another term. Give us the simple version. What's perfect forward secrecy? Why is it better?
Okay, imagine every single conversation session, or maybe even every few messages, uses a brand new temporary encryption key, like a one-time use key.
Disposable keys.
Exactly. Now, let's say someone somehow manages to steal the key for today's conversation. With PFS, that key only works for today's conversation. It cannot be used to go back and decrypt yesterday's messages or messages from last week. And it won't work for tomorrow's messages either.
So even if one key gets compromised, it doesn't compromise everything.
Right. It dramatically limits the damage of a key being exposed. Past and future communications remain secure because the keys are constantly being generated and discarded for each session. It adds a significant layer of security over time. Jamie also apparently complies with the X.509 standard for certificates, which handles identity verification in a secure way. That's a recognized industry standard.
That sounds robust, and it seems like this commitment is getting noticed. Jamie won the Social Benefit Award at the FSF's LibrePlanet Awards in 2023.
Yeah, that's significant recognition from the free software community itself, acknowledging the real-world value and, well, the social benefit of this kind of privacy-focused model.
And it's not a finished project, right? They're still developing it.
Absolutely. The sources mention ongoing work, things like Project Atlas and Manifesto 2025. These aren't just static things. They signal active development. They're focused on improving the architecture, speed, usability.
All while sticking to the core principles.
That seems to be the goal. And it's worth noting, this work relies entirely on donations. The whole mission is stated as providing everyone with free, secure communication software that respects their privacy and values. Donations keep it moving forward.
Okay, so let's try and wrap this up. To summarize what we've unpacked today, Jamie really takes these core ideas, privacy, anonymity, user control, and builds them into a working, practical communication tool.
Yeah, it's a functional suite. Messaging, calls, video conferencing.
And it does this using that truly distributed P2P architecture, which seems to be the most, let's say, pure example of that design we've looked at recently.
It really embodies that decentralized philosophy in practice. Which leads to maybe one final thought for you, the listener, to chew on.
Go for it.
Well, if these decentralized P2P models like Jamie can offer unlimited secure communication, communication that, as we discussed, can even work locally when the main internet is down. What does that imply? What does it suggest about our future reliance on the huge centralized systems that run almost everything online right now?
Could our digital freedom, our digital sovereignty, actually depend more on adopting systems like this in the future?
It's a provocative question. Definitely something to think about. Where does true control lie?
Indeed. Food for thought. And if you are thinking about your own digital transformation, or maybe you need solid hosting for open source projects, remember our supporter, SafeServer.
Great reminder.
Check them out for hosting solutions and more info at www.safeserver.de. We thank them again for their support. Okay. That's it for this deep dive. We hope this gave you a clear, hopefully not too overwhelming understanding of Jamie and why its unique structure matters for privacy.
Hope it was useful.
Until next time, keep digging deeper into the world around you.